Welcome back to the Call of Duty show. My name's Mike Kent. I am joined, of course, by my co-host Keshav Bhatt. This week in the show, we're going to talk a number of subjects. We're going to talk about the Black Ops Cold War mid-season update. We have got an interview with Mr. Dalek JD.
The zombies community be like, right, that's it. You're no longer part of the zombies community. You've betrayed the community.
We are going to talk a little bit about Warzone updates or the lack of them. And we will also be talking about the CDL 2021 season, which has now been announced. To kick off the start of the show, Keshav, we're going to talk about the Call of Duty Cold War mid-season update. Now, there's been a little bit of confusion around this update because a lot of people thought that this was to do with Warzone as well. People even thinking that this new Fireteam map that you're going to explain that's coming was part of Warzone. So give us the lowdown.
Yeah, so the mid-season update is in, halfway through season one now almost, and so they're giving us some more new content. There's a new Fireteam map called Sanatorium. It takes place in the Ural Plains in Soviet Russia in 1984. This map is only for Fireteam, right? As you said, there is confusion about what mode it's for. It's just for Fireteam. It's not for multiplayer, not for Warzone. For those of you who are playing 6v6 multiplayer, there's a new game mode called Dropkick. It has some things to do with, you know, a nuclear briefcase going back and forth between teams. Securing the briefcase for a certain amount of time will help you secure the win. And then for players playing zombies, there's a new game mode called Cranked coming out. It's a limited time mode is what they're calling it. And then for PlayStation players, if you're playing Onslaught zombies mode, the raid, you know, everyone's favorite raid map is being added to Onslaught. And according to Treyarch, it'll have new intel on the overall game story. So for those of you who are tuned in to the Dark Aether zombie story, and on PlayStation, the new raid map has more intel for you to discover. So not a massive update, but it is, you know, a nice refresh of content for players who want something new to play.
So yeah, there was obviously a lot of confusion, or there has been a lot of confusion around what's going to be in this update. Now, by the time this podcast is released, we will know, but we're recording beforehand, so we kind of just have part of the information. But from what we gather, there isn't going to be anything Warzone related. And there isn't also going to be anything to do with zombies. Now, we've had a few tweets on the subject from the loyal Call of Duty Charlie Intel audience. Jacoby FC said, zombies was the biggest plus for the entire game going into launch, and they still haven't added new maps. Really disappointing. So any word on that, Keshav, from your sources?
Nothing yet, but they have announced that there's some news coming out on January 15th, which they call it the 115 day. So soon for some news on there.
Yeah, hopefully we'll hear more. Now, a common issue that we have with both Charlie Intel and the Certo Intel Twitter accounts is that people seem to think that we are the official accounts for Call of Duty. Now, Ian Panda _ said, when are you going to listen to the community and nerf the snipers? And he was then responded to by a guy called Chase, who said, when are you going to read his name and realize he's not a Call of Duty dev? So excellent that there was two misconceptions there. One, that Charlie Intel is in fact just you, Keshav, and you alone, which, to be honest, with Twitter, most of the time it is just you. But, you know, the website's obviously got a lot of people behind it. And obviously Ian the Panda, who is, asking for a nerf for the snipers. Any word on a nerf for a sniper, even though you're not a developer?
I hope they do. I mean, the DMR is a problem in Cold War too, right? It's not just a Warzone problem. It is overpowered in Cold War as well. And then the snipers, you know, I think some people don't like how fast it is in the quick scoping, but I mean, Treyarch seems to like where it is at right now. So I don't expect major sniper changes anytime soon.
Don't expect any. Okay. And finally, I think this is what some people have kind of thought with the entire first season, and especially if those for Warzone fans, you know, this mid-season update, people hoping for big changes. Now, you tweeted from the Charlie Intel account, as a reminder, mid-season update, which includes a new Fireteam map, arrives on Thursday, and It's Hunter TV replied with that famous picture of all the basketball players sleeping on the plane, basically saying that's pretty boring. What would you say about the update? How would you rate it? Boring, exciting? Where do you land?
I'd say, you know, kind of boring right now, because Fireteam is what it is, but it's not like multiplayer. You know, people want 6v6 maps and modes, so until we get more 6v6 maps, I think it's kind of boring and kind of stale still.
Okay, so Zombies is getting teased. There's a lot of information coming out. Now, we have got an exclusive interview with Mr. Dalek JD. He's got over 2 million subs on YouTube. He's a huge content creator in the Zombies world. He's been one of the first YouTube zombie creators, I believe. And, you know, his account's success on YouTube is predominantly being on the back of Zombies. So it was really great to chat to him. We've talked a lot about Zombies. his career and everything going on. So please take the time out to take a listen to Mr. Dalek JD. We have a very special guest here on the Charlie and Tell show. It's none other than Mr. Dalek JD, aka John. How are you doing today? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me. I mean, obviously, like, I've been following Charlie Intel for years. So it's great to finally be on the official Charlie Intel podcast. It's great.
Yeah, no, great to have you. Obviously, you are one of the world's leading zombies experts in Call of Duty, but just Call of Duty in general, to be honest. You've obviously been involved in the space for a long time. You know, you're one of those people that kind of always hunts out the Easter eggs and all that kind of stuff. So let's, for people that aren't too familiar with you, do you want to just give a quick introduction into your Call of Duty history? And I suppose just to give people an understanding of where you've come from.
Sure. So yeah, so I've been uploading Call of Duty videos since 2009 with World at War Zombies, right when those DLC maps started coming out. And obviously the popularity of zombies was, I mean, it was very small back then. But I was creating a lot of YouTube videos on just like Nintendo games and other stuff like that. But I was playing Call of Duty and I'm like, I'm playing this so much, why don't I record it? And it was when like Black Ops 1 came around that they introduced, you know, those big full-fledged main Easter egg quests. And it's when I started uploading that is when I realized like, oh my God, okay, this is like, this is a thing. And yeah, ever since then, it's just grown exponentially bigger with every Black Ops title. And it was like Black Ops 2 Zombies, I hit 100,000 subscribers when that came out. And I still get messages today like, oh yeah, I watched you back in the day to learn how to do the transit Easter egg or like Origins or Mob of the Dead or anything like that. But like Black Ops 3, when that rolled around, I hit 1 million subscribers about a month after that game came out. And that was like the massive moment where it just went crazy. And I think that's when like, particularly if people watching that play zombies a lot and they've played it since like the beginning, Black Ops 3 is really like the turning point where it just exploded. And yeah, so for the longest time, I'm known as the guy that helps people complete Easter eggs and other little things and bits and bobs within Call of Duty.
Well, you've helped out a lot of people, clearly. What is it about zombies that is so appealing to you?
I think back in the day, it was that arcadey gameplay. I think everyone loved it. They just loved jumping into a game with their friends and just like sitting in a corner, seeing how long they could survive for. But as zombies sort of evolved, the sort of focus switched from purely just playing it to do high rounds, then it being about Easter eggs, and then being about the storyline as well. Treyarch have always been, you know, renowned for doing amazing storytelling within their games. And I don't think even they at the time realized what they were creating, and they didn't really have an idea on the story. But as it sort of developed more and more, and again, with Black Ops 3 Zombies, they took it to new levels where it was almost like a single player game in terms of the scope of storytelling that they had, like various trailers dedicated to characters in the mode. And yeah, it just created like, it's like a pop culture thing at that point where people were playing it for multiple reasons. But at that point, it was a mixture of storyline as well as just the gameplay has always been really solid. It's always had that same hook, and I'm still enjoying it like over 10 years later. So they've clearly done something right.
Yeah, it's interesting when you kind of see content creators who focus on zombies, which to be fair, there isn't a huge amount, you know, but there's obviously people like yourself, Syndicate, you know, those kind of people. Like, it's interesting that it kind of appeals to a very casual audience, but also there's a very hardcore one within that casual audience. It's almost like Call of Duty, people think of it as like esports. There's obviously Battle Royale now. You've got casual players who play the campaign and multiplayer, but also you've got zombies. So it's kind of like an interesting niche. I mean, how would you describe the Call of Duty zombies community?
Oh my God. I'd describe them as very hardcore. Like you say, like when you say hardcore, like they are the top of hardcore. Like if I was to drop zombies and focus on, I don't know, multiplayer, the zombies community would be like, right, that's it. You're no longer part of the zombies community. You've betrayed the community, which is obviously not the case whatsoever. Yeah. Because as content creators, you've got to make content on what, you know, interests you and what drives you. But at the same time, they're hardcore, but they're super passionate. Like it is a very niche little community, but over the years it has built into a massive thing. And especially with Cold War Zombies, Treyarch have done so much right with it this year that it's opened up that very niche hardcore community to a much wider audience. Like within the first month of Cold War Zombies, there were streamers who are known for like playing Fortnite who bring in like crazy amounts of viewers playing zombies, you know, trying to get to like round 255, which if you asked me like a few years ago when Fortnite was blowing up, that one day, oh yeah, Tfue would be, you know, playing zombies, I'd be like, nah, shut up, you're kidding me. So yeah, it's like the community is very niche, but like with the quality of the games, like it's just going to keep expanding as time goes on. And like we've seen it with the launch of Cold War, that has definitely opened the doors to a lot more people to jump in and enjoy it. And I just hope that they manage to keep that going throughout the year and, you know, just keep evolving the mode.
I know that one of the kind of most controversial elements of the zombies community is content creators getting sort of early access and then being able to kind of find out what the Easter egg is before even anyone's been able to get it. And it's like, then obviously, as you'd expect, those content creators, nothing against those guys, I'm sure you're one of them, would then upload all that content. And then on day one, people in theory could find out how to do it. Where do you stand on that? Do you understand the kind of frustration that people have had? And I actually don't know what happened in this zombies and whether that was the case. Did they give you access early for this one too?
So the way it worked this time around was very different to how it's been before, because obviously with the ongoing pandemic, there wasn't a physical review event you could go to. So instead they had a virtual one where they tried to lock out, you know, playing certain modes until a certain day. That's typically how it works for like review events. So like I'm very lucky that I get to be part of that process. Like it's fantastic as a content creator to be able to, you know, get early hands on and prepare videos. But it's interesting you ask that, because over the years, the process with early access and zombies, specifically with Easter eggs, has definitely changed. A few years ago, if you were lucky enough to find a copy of the game, like, I don't know, 2-3 weeks early, anyone had that advantage where, you know, they could play it for weeks on end and learn all the Easter eggs and everything like that. Nothing would be off limits. But with Call of Duty World War II, that changed a little bit, because me and my team were the first to solve it, but we solved it before the game had come out officially in America. So at that point, it really became clear and understood that everyone should be on a level playing field when it comes to Easter eggs. And because of that happening, I think that moment has definitely helped early access going forward, because from that, the year onwards from that, Treyarch released Black Ops 4, but disabled all Easter eggs until a certain day on launch day. So it's like, right, everyone's now got the game.
Yeah.
You're now going to have to wait till this time, and then boom, Easter eggs unlocked. Everyone's on a level playing field. Anyone can get that first in the world if they want to get it. And I think over the years, that sort of first in the world sort of status has definitely become something that a lot of people strive for. And it's definitely cool to get, but at the point that I'm at now, where I've been, you know, creating content and, you know, following zombies so closely, that it doesn't really matter to me anymore about getting that. It's not a massive deal. Like it's a huge achievement if you get it, but from the World War II thing, I definitely understand people's frustrations, and I'm completely happy with the way that it's now been handled, because it is fair. It is how it should be done. And it puts everyone on a level playing field, and also makes it more fun, because if everyone's on the same level playing field, it's a lot more exciting. People are more open to be more collaborative. And, you know, everyone's, when you've got a brute force of like, I don't know, a few million players all at once trying to solve something, way more fun than, you know, solving it on your own before release. Like, it's not fun. So that's the way I stand on it at that point.
It's a good take on it, a good take. So you've obviously been involved, and, you know, as you said, you've talked to the developers a lot, especially in these previews and all that kind of stuff. Have they ever kind of asked for your feedback? Is there anything that you're kind of proud of that they maybe said, oh, what do you think of this? And you said, oh, maybe you should do it like that, and it got included. Is there anything like that that's happened? Or is it always kind of being just, this is it, what do you, like, play it? You know, where's the line?
It's interesting you say that, because I have been to a few, you know, preview events for DLCs and for games and stuff, and they do ask for feedback. But it's interesting because it all depends on the developer, because when you go to those events, you learn from the developer's mindset how they think of the game, how it should be made, and how these systems should work. So when it's like, we have an idea on, oh, you should do this, and it's like, the developers are like, right, but we have this in place, so it makes your mind think like this, and do XYZ. And then you're like, okay, well, I've never thought of it like that before. That's quite interesting. But the developers, especially when it comes to like Black Ops 3, Black Ops 4, Zombies Era, it was more a case of like, the developers are like, we know what you want, but we don't necessarily want to give it to you as straightforward as you want it. So yeah. It's like, it's very interesting because you don't really ever think about how the developer's mind works in terms of how they implement these things. And in some points, yeah, maybe it is right that we shouldn't always get what we want straight away. But I think with Cold War Zombies, they've definitely listened to community feedback and what worked and what didn't. And I mean, we're very early into the season still. Like, we've not even had the first DLC map yet. But yeah, with the new perk they're adding in, that's a fan favorite. It's a meme in the community. God knows why. But that's like an 8-year-old perk that they're bringing back in. And it definitely seems like they're listening to fan feedback. And I just hope that as the season goes on, they take in what people are saying and they look at what worked back in the day. Because
yeah,
it's weird, out of anything in Call of Duty, as much as the community want it to evolve and change, we also don't like it when it changes and we like it when it stays the same. And it's almost like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Obviously stuff has to evolve, but Zombies is so, at its core, it's so simple that they don't need to do too much to keep it great. They just need to keep making fantastic maps. And I guess we'll just see what happens come the DLC season.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen actually a bit of a teaser, but I don't know by the time we release this, how relevant it'll be. But, yeah. You know, what do you make of the teaser that's been released so far? And what are you expecting to happen really soon in the Zombies world?
What Treyarch do really well is they're so good at cryptic teasers. Mm. I think it is great to have a teaser where it doesn't show too much. It really makes you ask more questions than what the teaser can answer. But so far, looking at that teaser, at first I was like, the map looks small, but then I look more into it and I'm like, actually, it looks really big. And it looks interesting from an environmental point of view. Like, again, I could be completely wrong by the time this goes out, but the environment looks like it's got some sort of forestry area. It looks like it's almost near a shore as well. The Treyarch are thrown in a load of hints in Cold War Zombies as to where they're going in the DLCs, and it's very obvious where this map's going to be set. So people have already had a good idea on what location it's going to be. And I guess from the campaign locations that have also had this part of the world in, you can sort of look at it and be like, right, okay, it's going to look a little bit like that. But from my point of view, I'm a guy who loves colorful, open, bright maps. And this looks like it's going to tick all those boxes. It's looking like a very lush forestry environment. I'm just hoping that we get some exciting new weapons in there. I mean, it looks really interesting. It looks like a great location. And for the first time in a while, it seems like it's an original new location. It's not like a remake of a previous map. And don't get me wrong, the machine is fantastic because it feels more new than like a Nakedan Toten remake. But people have been screaming out for ages that we just want an original map, because Black Ops 4's, like, half of the DLC was all just remakes. And then we get a new map for Cold War that starts off being a remake. It's just like, we just want something original. But it looks really good from first impressions. But obviously, it was just a bird's eye shot. So, you know, still a lot to come. But I think in terms of what we should expect between that and then the map release, I mean, Treyarch can do whatever they want. Like I said, they're great at cryptic teasers. There could be more sort of like scraps of paper of little story bits and pieces here and there. But I'm thinking, since there's a long time until this map comes out, since season two is like late February, I'd love to see a trailer, but I think it might be a little bit too early. But by the time this comes out, we would have seen a trailer.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll see more.
Yeah.
I think it was Syndicate that was saying when Rebirth Island came out in Warzone, he was saying, this is going to be the next Zombies map. How would you feel if that was a new Zombies map?
I'd think I'd need to see it in action before I would judge it, but fatigue would definitely set in because we've already had Blood of the Dead, which was the original like Alcatraz in Call of Duty. Yeah. Then they remade it in Black Ops 4, Blood of the Dead, which was nowhere near as good as Blood of the Dead. But then we also had Alcatraz in Blackout, And then they put the same Alcatraz in COD Mobile. And now we've got a reskin of that in Warzone. So I think if they did that, I don't think people would be too happy, to be honest. Because again, they just want something new that they've not seen before. There's a chance that it would be good, but I just think at this point they can't remake it again in Zombies. It's already happened too recently that they wouldn't do it again.
What do you make of COD Mobile, as you've just mentioned it? Do you play a lot? Is it something you enjoy? Like, you know, what do you make of the game?
I think as a mobile game, it's pretty good. Like, there's not really much to complain about. It's free. There's a ton of content from all the old Call of Duty games. I would say I enjoyed it a lot more when they had the Zombies mode in it. I don't know what happened for them to remove it, but if they brought Zombies mode back into it, I'd definitely play it a lot more, because I thoroughly enjoyed when they had Shinonuma. Like, I was playing that to like nearly like round 100, because it was on a time limit as well. So you had a finite amount of time to survive. And yeah. I really enjoyed it. And it was a lot better than I thought it'd be, because they had like a full-fledged like little mini Easter egg where the boss fight was different compared to what it was when you just played it normally. They added Nacdet and Toten in, which had a pack-a-punch machine. You could go outside of it. And maybe they removed it because D-Machina was going to essentially be that, but on a grander scale. But I think COD Mobile is great. It just kills me to think what a console version of COD Mobile would be like. Yeah. Because I think everyone would lose their minds and they would never play another COD, because it would just be too good.
Well, it's a little bit like Warzone, isn't it? Where, because Warzone's so good, that they've like, I don't think Activision expected it to be such a hit. And now they're like, and obviously then they had the issue of, well, we release a new game every year. What the hell are we going to do?
Yeah.
So, you know, now it's obviously all this cross progression, which is totally brand new. But yeah, I think it's a bit like that with COD Mobile. Why would they release it? Because it's like an amalgamation of all the games, isn't it?
Exactly. It's the ultimate party mix of every Call of Duty game. It's like, yeah, if they released that on console, there'd be no need for a yearly Call of Duty.
Yeah, it really would. You're right. I think it's a massive area, COD Mobile, and I think we'll see that develop. And obviously, as phones get more powerful, it's going to get to the stage where phones are as powerful as consoles anyway. So,
like, we're going to see like PS4 or Xbox One like level of graphical detail on a mobile. Yeah, it's going to be crazy. Exactly. But it's just interesting, because it's like Call of Duty Mobile is such an interesting audience, because I think like probably everyone watching this might have touched COD Mobile, but at the heart, we're controller players, we're keyboard and mouse players. We play on massive screens. Like, we don't really need to play on our phone. Why would we play on our phone when we got the full-fledged main package like right in front of us? But the fact the option's there and it is so good, it is very interesting. And I'm excited to see what they do with it over the next year or two, because they bring out a season on that game like every month. Like, it's actually crazy.
It's a big update, isn't it?
Yeah, how quickly they turn around content on that game. And like the Battle Royale map, they could bring that to Warzone if they wanted to. Like, there's some really cool like locations on that map that a lot of people would enjoy, and mostly are Treyarch themed as well. So it would work in Warzone.
Well, talking of Warzone, we talked a little bit before the show, you do play it quite a lot. I'm guessing that you're hitting DMR zone right now.
Oh, yeah. It's awful. It's like, it gets to the point where it's like, if you can't beat them, you might as well join them.
Yeah. But
like with Warzone, like obviously you play it to get wins and to have fun. But it gets to the point where the DMR is boring. Like, it's boring being so just making the game feel so easy that you can hit people from like across downtown with it. It's
not satisfying at all.
Yeah, exactly. That's the right word for it. It's not satisfying. So you want to try other loadouts. And like, they've added over 20 new guns into the game. You're like, you want to use them and see what works and what doesn't. And there's a ton of other weapons that are really viable in Warzone. And the moment the DMR gets the nerf that it should get, you'll see so many other new weapons being used that are actually so good. But again, there's no point using them right now because the DMR.
Yeah, I've kind of like avoided leveling up the DMR.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to use like the AMAX or the Kilo, which before was working incredibly well for me, but to my standard anyway, which I've said on this podcast before, isn't very high. 1.3 KD. But
I'm in that club too. I'm 1.3 KD as well.
Yeah, there you go. So
I need to stick to Zombies, because I'm not too good at Warzone.
And I need to stick to writing on websites. but I've noticed like the other day I had more deaths than I had kills, and I was like, I'm just gonna have to give in and just use the DMR, even though I don't want to. It's like, I just doesn't, it's not, it doesn't appeal to me. But anyway, it is what it is. With Warzone, where would you like to see it go? Because if you, I'm sure you played Blackout, you know, they obviously had that zombie element to it, which was kind of random. And they did have that zombie element in the recent one as well. It was like mm-hmm. a mode, you know, but zombies aside, what would you like to see happen to Warzone, especially when we're expecting a big update in season two, which was going to be, as you said, end of February, start of March?
For Warzone, like the thing with Warzone is they are pretty good. Well, it seemed at the time really good at telling like an underlying story that was being, you know, slowly unraveled every season. And, you know, it was all to do with like the rockets and Bunker 11 and Bunker 10 and all that. It was amazing. I think if they just continue with that, that's enough to keep me happy. But I do think we are due for a new map. Like, I love Verdansk to pieces. It's a fantastic map. And like, massive props to IW and Raven on that, because it's incredible to think like a year and a half ago that was a thing that we were going to be getting, and it's just so popular. But I think it is time for Treyarch to step in and bring in a new Cold War themed Warzone map. And also, I think, like, yeah, with Blackout, the interesting thing is it touches back to when we spoke about, you know, talking to developers and stuff. Just before Black Ops 4 came out and we got a chance to play Blackout and the rest of the game at a review event, we spoke to some devs that worked on Blackout, and we asked them, you know, there's a lot of zombie locations in this map. Can we expect some sort of, like, you know, zombies events? And they spoke about some things they tested that were like zombie specific, like vehicles that you may have seen in some like earlier maps, or just features that are very unique to only zombies that could work in Blackout, but they never did it. And it's like, if they want to go completely bonkers at some point in Warzone, they could do that. Like, they could implement, like, they spoke about like a giant, like, you know, giant robot stomping across Blackout, or the transit bus driving around. Like, that would be cool. I don't know if it'd work in Warzone, because it's, you know, a bit more gritty and a bit more modern. Yeah. But I mean, hey, they put zombies in it a few months ago, so anything's possible. But yeah,
those shock boxes were the absolute worst.
Yeah, yeah. I think that zombies mode was pretty damn good, though. I enjoyed that.
The fact that you could get the shock boxes in regular Warzone, it must have been a glitch. I nearly had a heart attack so many times. Like, yeah. I was so glad that when that went.
Yeah, I mean, props to them again for, you know, being able to make that happen. And again, the scares were, they didn't like, you know, like in some games where you have a scary experience and it's sort of like a one and done thing, but that was truly like, you could never predict. You never predict what's going to happen. And it scared you the same way every time.
Even when you knew it was coming, still get you.
Exactly. It was awful trying to get those. I think there was like an event where you had to open like the crates in every area. There's a good chance that you'd get jump scared.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. I hated it. Absolutely hated it. So let's finish this on doing some quick questions. But as with all our quick questions, if you can give a little bit of an explanation. So,
okay.
Favorite zombies on which game?
Oh, favorite zombies on Darius and Drak on Black Ops series. The first DLC, you have four elemental bows. It's set in a medieval castle. It's the first boss fight, true boss fight and zombies. And it's essentially, it's a bit like Origins with the staffs, but it's made even better. It's easier for anyone to jump in and get. And that's why it's my favorite map of all time. It's just perfect.
Favorite zombies weapon?
Ooh. Probably the Apothecan Servant from Shadows of Evil Black Ops 3. It's this weird tentacle gun that shoots black holes. It's weird.
Okay, what's your favorite Warzone location?
It's got to be hangars. It's just like, it's a good place to go. There's a helicopter as well. You can mark that. Normally with the hangars, you can get a loadout pretty quickly and more times out of 10. And then if there's action going on, just go to the fire station, grab the truck, just drive away, just get to a buy station, get that loadout in.
No, it makes sense. What's the worst place on the map? What's the worst place to end up, especially?
Ooh, good question. I'd say maybe prison, just because if you get stuck in there, God help you trying to get out of it. Like, especially if it get if it's in the gas, like there's no hope. Like, you got to go up like 7 flights of stairs just to find your way out. And then for all you know, someone could be waiting, watching like the like bridge area, just prone, waiting for someone to run out. And then that's it, you're dead.
What's your favorite Warzone weapon?
Ooh, probably the Kilo. It's just all round good gun. Like, you can't beat it. It's great. And especially when the DMR gets nerfed, Kilo is going to be back to where it belongs.
Yeah, I miss the Kilo. Well, I still use it, but you know what I mean? I miss it when it was good.
Yeah, and everyone used it.
Who is your favorite Zombies content creator?
Oh, geez. What a good question. Favorite Zombies content creator? I'd probably say my friend NoahJ456. Like, we've been in this game pretty much as long as each other, and just seeing his success and like the audience he's grown for live streaming is just... it's just insane. And all around, he's just a very entertaining man. So it's not really much, not much to fault him for.
You can't say Noah, but who's your favorite Call of Duty streamer?
Oh gosh. Favorite Call of Duty streamer. Probably Nick Merckx. Yeah. Like, he's just super entertaining. Like, I could watch that guy all day. Like, he's just a hilarious guy.
And finally, we ask everyone this, what is your favorite sandwich?
Ooh, favorite sandwich.
Yeah.
Man,
it can be a custom or it can be like, you know, off the shelf, whatever you want.
I'm gonna go and say a little bit of an oddball one, and it's a festive treat, just, you know, turkey and stuffing sandwich. Can't beat it. Ooh. At Christmas time with cranberry sauce in there.
Yeah, rogue. I like it. All right. Yeah. Well, look, really appreciate you taking the time out. Where, if people don't already know, where can they find you on socials and channels, etc.?
You can find me youtube.com/MrDalekJD. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and even TikTok now, which is, you know, getting down with the kids. All under the same name. So it should be quite easy to find.
Awesome. Well, look, really appreciate you taking the time out. And obviously best of luck with the next Zombies release. Hopefully you get what you want out of it. And hopefully we get rid of the DMR as well.
Oh yeah. I'm looking forward to both those moments happening.
Thanks, Mr. Dalek JD, for taking the time out. Great to learn more about him as a creator. Make sure you hit up his accounts and socials, as he said at the end of that video. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about Warzone updates, or the lack of Warzone updates. So when we recorded the last episode, the DMR nerf had just gone live. But from what we gather and from what everyone gathers, absolutely nothing has changed. And this is causing a bit of frustration within the community. You know, when we spoke to Stone Mountain last week, he was saying, why don't they just take it out and then kind of fix it and then put it back in once it's been tested. Because Raven basically came back from the holidays, did a little tweak. They removed headshot multiplier, and they also made it so there was more recoil from distance. But it basically just didn't do anything. So Keshav, I'm sure you've been inundated with people thinking the Charlie Intel account's the developer account. How many people are complaining about the DMR?
Everyone. I mean, I tweeted out like an hour after the update saying, so thoughts on it, and everyone said nothing changed. And, you know, at first I thought they'd never been pushing an update live yet, but no, the update was live and literally it was the same thing. So, you know, it's still beaming from short distances, long distances. It's still DMR zone, no matter what people say at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that if you go into any sort of game, and, you know, I'm not the greatest Call of Duty player of all time by any means. So, I'm going into lobbies that are like bronze lobbies, and they all got DMRs. Like, all my friends who don't really have anything to do with like esports and gaming, really, apart from playing Warzone, they're all using the DMR. If they're using the DMR, that means everyone is. So put it in the ground, make it so that it's completely unusable. It's not a fun gun. I don't understand why there hasn't been something done yet. And people are getting mad. I'm getting mad, clearly. And, you know, it's getting to the stage where it's like, when's the hell going to end? Because at the moment, I don't want to get on Warzone. I'm more likely to go and play Cold War or Modern Warfare multiplayer, which is very unlike me. Normally, I'd be like Warzone only. But at the moment, I'm like, well, what's the point? I'm just going to, you know, spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes looting around, getting equipment, getting my loadout, getting everything together. And you run across an open field and you're killed in 2 seconds. It's like, where's the fun in that, you know, especially when someone you can't even see because the scopes don't have a glint. And you basically, once you get shot twice, you're on your last legs. So I don't know. It's getting to the stage now where it's I can't believe it's not being done yet. And everyone was kind of praising Raven last week, saying, oh yeah, it's finally done. And then 10 minutes later, we realized it wasn't. Now, as usually is the case, we'll talk about something and then it will happen. So please God, by the time this is released, please let there be a Dame on Earth. But have you heard anything from Raven or any of your sources, Keshav, on a potential change?
Nothing yet. Raven's been kind of radio silent on Twitter. So hopefully they come back to life in the next couple of days with some updates on what's going on.
Hi, guys. When we originally recorded this episode of the show, the Dame on Earth hadn't actually come out. But literally minutes after we finished recording, they announced that it was going to drop. So we've added this section in just to make sure that you guys are up to date on what's happened. So Kesha, what's actually changed in this update?
Yeah, I mean, so they announced the patch, and I think people were very excited for this patch update because it's something that we've been waiting for a while, right? The meta shifting again. And, you know, one of the first things they did was they fixed the issues with the MAC 10 blueprints having better stats than the base weapons. But beyond that, right, the biggest part is DMR, right? They nerfed the bullet penetration, the damage fall off, they increased more recoil, and they fixed more of the headshot multipliers as well. And beyond the DMR, right, that's not the only thing that changed. They also updated the Type 63. They nerfed that as well, right? The DMR and Type 63 both got a similar nerfs in the damage fall off as well as the bullet penetration. They fixed the burst pistols as well. They reduced those damage. And they also updated some gunsmith, attachment stats for the DMR and the Type 63, as well as the burst pistol. I know a lot of people still love to use that burst pistol in Akimbo attachment, and they have actually slightly nerfed it, so your headshots don't do as much damage as they did before. And then the infinite stim glitch is fixed, which is very good to see. We were talking about how they could probably remove the stim, but instead they were able to fix it right on the start. So I think that's pretty good progress, and this patch seems to have brought Warzone back to a better place than it was a couple of days ago.
Yeah, look, I noticed that like there's a lot of people on Twitter saying, yeah, it's not been nerfed, blah, blah, blah. But then when I started watching a bunch of streamers, I saw people using the Kilo, the AMAX. You know, it seemed to be, and I actually played a few games last night, and I noticed that the people were still using the DMR, but it didn't feel as lethal. I don't know if that was just because I thought it'd been nerfed or whether it actually had been nerfed. I don't know. Whether it was the kind of lobby I was in and whether I was actually going up against bots like myself, I don't know. But it wasn't too bad, basically. So I don't know. I need to play more Warzone to find out if it actually has been nerfed. But from what I'm seeing, people are using more weapons again. Let's have a look at some of the reactions from people.
Oh my god, bro. It's literally so good still.
Oh my god.
Sniping at me?
These guys didn't jump, they sit down. That's so awkward.
Two knocked on the hill, two red suits knocked.
Beautiful. Yikes, dude. This shit is not nerfed.
Push. Yep, pushing right. Yeah, old DMR would have killed them already, just saying.
He's gone.
Oh, they got me.
That's the way to do that.
So as you can see, a number of big content creators still disputing whether it actually has made a big difference or not. It's obviously still pretty good. Is it just a viable weapon now and you can use other ones? I think that remains to be seen yet. I think we'll see people trying to try use other guns. You know, as I said, I saw people using the M30 and the Kilo AMAX and doing decent results with it. So let's hope it has changed, because I don't think I can deal with more DMR zone. Tim the Tatman was one of the people in there. Now, he actually got into a little bit of a back and forth with Nick Merckx and Doc Disrespect on Twitter. And Raven Software even came back with their own cheeky little reply, which was, all this time wasted arguing when you could both be learning how to play without getting carried by the DMR. So, you know, poking fun at their own development there. And let's hope this has been enough. I personally would just want it to be nerfed into the ground so that no one uses it. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, Raven Software is getting a little bit cheeky on Twitter there. I don't, you know, whoever their comms guy is getting a little bit risky there, because he's basically admitting that the DMR is completely nerfed into the ground now. But in many reactions we saw in that videos, right, like there's still people who are using it. Symphony can still take people out in a couple of shots. So hopefully this doesn't mean that this is the end of the DMR nerfs. There are more to come in the future based upon data, but we'll have to keep an eye on what Raven Software does. But they are getting a little bit more active on Twitter, which is what we need.
Absolutely. And I know we mentioned in the episode previously that they'd gone a bit quiet, but it seems that they're back. So, and it seems like they'll drop anything at any time without any forewarning too. So that also makes recording a Call of Duty podcast about Warzone pretty risky. There has been an announcement about the CDL schedule. Keshav, do you want to give us a quick breakdown of what we need to know?
Yeah, so they finally announced that. I've seen on Reddit and Twitter people waiting for the start of the season, and I myself too, you know, have missed some of the esports action. So the CDL will kick off on January 23rd and 24th with a kickoff classic event. They've announced that this event will have fan voted show matches. So the top three teams, Atlanta, Dallas, and Optic Chicago, put up Twitter polls asking who their opponent's going to be for the first game. They're also going to announce more information on the 2021 season during the kickoff classic. And they also are going to showcase the groups, how they're picking the groups for this year, which is very different than usual. It's like a snake draft where the top team picks their opponents' groups and stuff. So, you know, it's going to be a fun weekend to kick that off. And then the actual opening, so the real start of the season, is a couple weeks away in February, February 11th through 14th. It is the Atlanta FaZe home series. That's the opening weekend. You know, they have this new format set up where it's going to be like five major tournaments that then lead into champs. Home series is like this group play sort of stage. So, you know, if you're a CDL fan, there's a lot of stuff coming up here pretty quickly. And we're going to have, you know, the first event just next weekend.
Yeah, so January 23rd, 24th, it's going to be great to see Call of Duty action back. I'm really interested to see how Black Ops plays out because, to be honest, I've not watched a huge amount of scrims. I've definitely not watched anyone doing Codcaster. And now because it's moved over to PC, hopefully we're going to see way more stats. We're going to see way more kind of like angles and different kind of setups. And, you know, it'd be really cool to see some graphical changes. And hopefully it'll just look really good as well because it's going to be on PC instead of being on, especially on the PS4, which is terrible. It looks awful. Sorry.
The 240 FPS, right? The 240 FPS too, they can get unlocked frame rate and stuff. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that looks, especially, you know, going from console for so many years now to PC.
Yeah. And, you know, it's great to just have some regular Call of Duty back as well. Now it is online initially. I think one boost we've seen is, you know, obviously we saw the League of Legends World Championship that was played offline in China last year. But what we've seen as well is Ubisoft have announced that they're going to be doing some of their Rainbow Six competitions in the US, and they're just going to be like doing loads of coronavirus testing, putting them in a bubble. So hopefully we'll see that for some tournaments later on in the year if the vaccine rollout hasn't just sort of solved the situation anyway. But really excited to see COD back at events, and hopefully we'll get fans in there. Hopefully we'll be able to attend and do interviews. So really exciting time, but this is kind of the start. Online COD, nothing new. Played it all last season. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing what's happening. And, you know, it looks like we should see Optic Chicago versus LA Thieves. Of course, Nadeshot versus Hex. So that'll be an amazing rivalry in that first game. I would love to see that. I think I'd just kick everything off. When it comes to predictions for the year, Keshav, do you have any? Who do you think is going to be leading the pack?
I think the one team I'm looking out for is LA Thieves. You know, they are the underdogs in many ways because they're the brand new sort of brand and team into the league. They picked up Optic Gaming's Los Angeles' seeding, which was like really, you know, not the best. And so they have a lot to prove, right? Coming into this league, $25 million spot you just picked up. You're the newest team here. So I'm going to keep an eye out on them. You know, it's them and Optic too, right? Optic had a rough year last year. You know, Dallas and Atlanta outshined them in multiple events. So I think LA Thieves, Optic are the two teams to look out for. I mean, I think with where we are, I think Atlanta FaZe, however, is still the most dominant team, right? They have sort of the best young blood. Simp is still there. So it's just a lot of dynamic.
They've got Arsities as well. They've got like, those guys are insane. A team I think people are going to be overlooking as well is New York Subliners. So I think actually they're going to do pretty well. They've also got Clayster. He's back with Zuma. And they've got, you know, Mac upcoming talent. So I think I think it's going to be pretty exciting to see those guys play as well. Now, what's always interesting in the competitive Call of Duty scene is the roasting between players. Now, the Optic Chicago team, formerly known as Chicago Huntsmen, for anyone confused, Optic LA is now LA Thieves. That hopefully clears that up. Anyway, Hex and his team, they sat down and they did a roast of other professional Call of Duty players. And we've got a quick clip that you need to watch, which is kind of a summary of it all. And fair to say, Formal didn't stop at pulling any punches. He was definitely in there kind of causing some beef, and that ended up spilling out onto Twitter. But let's take a watch of the clip.
Today we'll be tier listing professional Call of Duty players of the olden days and beyond. Where does Apathy go?
I'll put him B.
You put Apathy at B?
Wait, but didn't they lose like... Did they lose every game last year?
But he's got two rings. All right, we have Clayster. He's got three rings?
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's
gotta be S.
You guys think he's S?
I don't.
Alright, one more time. Krim, is there a debate?
He's A as well.
Oh.
He's A.
He's an A? Alright. Okay. We have J-Cap.
D.
C for coach.
The C? Here we go. The killer.
D. I'm not a pussy. He's horrible.
Yeah, you are fucked up. I'll say D too.
Rambo, rambunctious, rambolucious.
Been down there with Adam.
Did you ever play against him?
Yes, he was horrid.
What the hell?
He was in the final and went 0-10 to start strike zone. I said, I'm not watching this anymore. I laughed. Dylan hates Clips for me, so I'm nervous. No, I don't. I really don't.
Well, there you have it. The final list, tier list, for your entertainment purposes only.
So yeah, it was a pretty funny video. Good to see kind of Call of Duty players once again causing a bit of drama. And this ended up spilling out onto Twitter. We'll put up a number of tweets up. So everyone from Toronto Ultra to Rambo. Now, Methods, he tweeted, the Optic camp is obsessed with me. I don't blame them. Methods, of course, isn't being serious in case anyone doesn't know his personality. Now, with Formal, he said stuff about Rambo, and Rambo kind of responded. He said, yikes, I know it's content and stuff, but this is pretty disrespectful. And then went on to say that he basically bodied a couple of people on that sofa at his last event. Krim also replied to Rambo saying, take cover, Ray, knowing that there was going to be an influx of Optic fans hitting him up. And then Clayster and Dashy, they kind of had their own kind of dispute, which was pretty good. That went out on Twitter as well. So all in all, classic Call of Duty, classic Call of Duty esports, where people are just arguing with each other. We love it. I think it's great. I think we need to see more of this. Obviously, now there's a bit of pressure on Optic to perform, because it could have a bit of egg on their face if they don't perform this year when they've kind of been talking shit. I don't know what you think, Keshav. Do you think that's going to cause any concern with them?
I mean, I think, you know, they just had to prove their words, right? You just stand back what they said. So I do love the drama. That's what makes COD esports so much fun. There's drama, the anger, you know, you see people yelling at each other, and that, you know, the Twitter roasts are always hilarious, although it became more professional with CDL and the fines and stuff. But still, I mean, when they take it out on each other on Twitter, it always just, you know, gets us more content for ourselves. But also it just hypes up the storyline and gets more excitement for the next event.
Yeah, I think players should be like, Activision should be encouraging them to talk shit. I think that's what gets people interested in matches, is when they know there's going to be some beef between two players. They know there's going to be some hype. So, you know, we saw that last year. We see it every year, you know. One person who didn't take well to it, though, was Killer. Now, he kind of tweeted out that basically people were disrespecting his legacy, trying to remove his achievements. But, you know, what I'd say to Killer is, I don't think anyone's going to take away the fact that he was Killer. You know, he made a massive impact on the competitive COD scene. I know that I'm always being a big Killer fan. So I think a couple of people talking about it in a video, just saying that he was trash, I don't think that means any difference. He's always going to be one of the first world champions in Call of Duty history. So I don't think he needs to worry about it too much. I think it was a pretty funny video, though.
Yeah, it was a good video.
Okay, that is all we've got time for this week, Keshav. What are you expecting that we're going to talk about next week in the next week's show?
Yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing sort of the reaction to the, you know, Sanatorium, the new Fireteam map. But beyond that, too, I think there's going to be some Zombies announcements upcoming. So hopefully we'll be able to discuss a new Zombies map, what, you know, Zombies fans have been asking for content since launch. So there should be a lot of Zombies discussion next week as well about new content. And hopefully we'll have more on the CDL, too, as we get closer to the preseason kickoff event.
Yeah, should be good. Look, thanks for taking the time out, Keshav. Thanks, Mr. Dalek JD, for taking the time out to talk about Zombies 2. We'll be back next week.